ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 Maybe you can get a drone, can just hover. Move around also. Yeah. This thing is really ugly. You're trying to get in the center as much as possible. Actually, I like to see the devotees. Srila Prabhupada gave a few lectures just with the camera. No one knows. He didn't like it. He stopped it. He liked to have devotees present to speak. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 18, text 68. Ya idang paramam guhyam mad bhakteshvabhidhyasati bhakting mai parang kritva mame vaishyatya sanshayaha. Krishna says, for one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Generally it is advised that Bhagavad Gita be discussed among the devotees only, for those who are not devotees will understand neither Krishna nor Bhagavad Gita. Those who do not accept Krishna as he is and Bhagavad Gita as it is should not try to explain Bhagavad Gita whimsically and become offenders. Bhagavad Gita should be explained to persons who are ready to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is a subject matter for the devotees only and not for philosophical speculators. Anyone, however, who tries sincerely to present Krishna consciousness, Bhagavad Gita, as it is, will advance in devotional activities and reach the pure devotional state of life. As a result of such pure devotion, he is sure to go back home, back to Godhead. Ya idam paramam guhyam mad bhakteshvabhidhyasati bhakting mai parang kritva mame vaishyatya sanshayaha. For one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. Na chastasman manushyesu kaschin me priyakritamaha bhavita na cha me tasmad anyaf priyataro bhuvi. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. So especially the second of these two verses, Srila Prabhupada often quoted to encourage devotees in their preaching activities. And this is from Krishna, of course, Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, when he comes as Krishna, he speaks this. And when he comes as Lord Chaitanya, he says, Dare deko tare koho Krishna upadesh amaragyai guru hoya tare idesh. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, instruct them or tell them about the instructions of Krishna, which means Bhagavad Gita, as it is. In this way become a guru, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, and deliver this land. So both Krishna as Krishna and Krishna as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasize the importance of these preaching activities. So congratulations to all of you here who are engaged in the preaching activities of Krishna consciousness. And of course, there are many devotees all over the world who are engaged in this activity. Yesterday evening, I was speaking with my godbrother and old friend, Shyamasundar Prabhu, who lives here in Bangalore. Actually, in our movement, if you say Shyamasundar, Prabhupada disciple, they often think of Shyamasundar 1967. who joined in San Francisco, I believe it was, and was instrumental in helping to establish Krishna consciousness on the west coast of the United States. That was the first place where Krishna consciousness was established in the West without Prabhupada's direct presence. First was New York, and the second place was San Francisco, which was quite amazing that Srila Prabhupada, after such a short time with people who are completely new to Krishna consciousness, and then they were able to, just on his empowerment and inspiration, they were able to go to another place where people had never heard of Krishna consciousness and to establish it there. That's Srila Prabhupada's empowerment, that he was able to do that. So I was speaking with Shyamasundara Prabhu, and among the various very interesting things that he spoke to me, he never told me this before actually, but he was telling me about different mathematical theorems, because he studied mathematics at university for some time before giving it up. And he was just touching on them because I can't understand them at all. But he told me that study of them in college led him to understand that what we would now call the arohana panta, or the ascending process, that can never give us perfect knowledge. And he said even there was one proof, I think he says Gödel's theorem. I'd heard of one Gödel's theorem that purports to prove the existence of God. But there's another one he told me, if I can remember correctly, at the time, which was maybe a little more than 100 years ago, there were so many mathematicians trying to prove the certainty of mathematics, that mathematics can be proved, all different theorems. There's a solid, provable, certain background of mathematics. And then Gödel comes up with his proof that mathematics can never bring us to certainty. I'm just paraphrasing what he said, as far as I understood it. But that, Shyamasundara Prabhu told me, was that was instrumental in bringing him to Krishna consciousness, because he gave up university and gave up mathematics and thought, well, later he came to astrology, which requires lots of mathematics. Now it's all done by computer. So that got him to, and then he went on to explain how he came to Krishna consciousness. But then he told me that he and another contemporary of him at that time, they were the two students in the state, I believe it was, in Canada, that got from some company or foundation, they got scholarships, full scholarships, to study in any university in Canada, any subject they wanted to. There were two of them. So, yeah, must have been pretty bright students. So he told me that recently he contacted that other student who knew each other from those times. Anyway, they at least knew of each other. Nowadays, you can find out through the internet and this and that. Someone suggested to me once, I try and just... Anyway, that's another story. But, so he contacted him, and then they exchanged what they'd done in their lives. And his contemporary said that, yeah, I went through university, I got all good grades, and for the last 35, I got married, settled down, and the last 35 years I've been working for IBM. And Shyamasundara told about his life, and he said that this friend of his was envious of him, not in a bad way, but he thought, oh, you had such an interesting life, and I just had, going to work for IBM day in, day out, and so he's had a very interesting life, undoubtedly. So I thought to relate that to you here now, because you're all young men, relatively, to me. I was just speaking to a lady downstairs who's almost 80, and she was talking about when I was 70, and they said when I was younger. I said, oh, when you're 80, 70 seems young. So to me, you all seem young. Maybe you don't think of yourselves as very young. So, yeah, if you think of what your friends at school and college, and compare them to your life, what you're doing. And this is just on the material platform, but it's much more interesting, isn't it? And just going to work every day, and paying off the bills to pay for your apartment or pay the rent or whatever. Boring life. Even our devotees who live on the farms, you could say, well, that's a very routine kind of life, but it's a much more attractive routine than getting stuck in a traffic jam every morning. You get up every morning, and made a great impression on me the first time I went to a temple of Krishna in England, and got up early in the morning and saw that all these people are singing and dancing for the love of God early in the morning. I thought, oh, they do this every day. This is great. So I had to join. So even materially, your life is much more interesting. And many devotees, I know so many disciples of Srila Prabhupada who in their youth, they gave their youth for preaching Krishna consciousness with a lot of struggle, and then later many of them went to, at least externally in their hearts and in their homes, they were devotees, but externally they went to secular life, got a job, this, that, and they'd all say, oh, that was the best days of my life was when I was practicing and preaching Krishna consciousness. You must have some experience like that, huh? You're yes. Brahmachari for some years, actively preaching, traveling with me for some time. And now you're part of the Bangalore scene in terms of just making money, doing some business. Huh? Yes. Mm.
Actually, that's what keeps me going.
It's what keeps you going, yeah. That experience.
Yes.
Intense experience of Krishna consciousness. And it is intense. There's some of our devotees in the West, it seems to me, they think that, well, preaching in India is just easy. And well, in the West, no doubt, it has certain challenges that are not there in India. And definitely people are more pious, and many people are much closer to Krishna consciousness than in the West. But it's not that you just walk around and people come up and fall at your feet and buy books, is it? I don't think so. Srila Prabhupada, he said once, India is a little difficult. We have to fight with so many atheists. Then he said, but the mass of people are all right. Which leads me to another thought, and going off track. I was speaking with Radhe Shyam Prabhu on Sunday, the famous Radhe Shyam. He's a brahmachari, he doesn't have any big position officially in our movement, but practically, it's difficult to say exactly, but he's probably doing more preaching than anyone else in the movement in terms practically of bringing people to Krishna consciousness, and he has been doing so for years, bringing them and training them and so many things. So, he told me he was doing this corporate preaching and this and that. And I just thought when I meet him again, I may say to him that with this corporate preaching, the idea is you go to the people in the corporations and you talk to them about the preach to them, but it's not straight on, full on. I just think it's such a hard job. You have to go in like a needle, like a bent needle practically, not even like a straight needle. And then it's so difficult to get them to bring them to actual Krishna consciousness. I was just thinking, one of the great desires of Srila Prabhupada here in India was to have a mass movement of the village people. So there's a big open field. It's tough to bring people in the city, especially these people in the corporations. It's become quite a fashion among our devotees to present Ramayana for life skills and how time management from Ramayana and this and that. But that's not the message of Ramayana. You could take all kinds of things out of it, but the real message is Saradhaman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja, to surrender to Krishna and Rama, like that. But you can go in the village. Even here, years ago, I went to some program in, I guess it must have been some slum area, it was given in Canada by Rukmiha Prabhu. You know, Rukmiha, he's in preaching in Tamil Nadu for years, but he's actually Kannadiga. He's actually Kannadiga. You know that? He was preaching in Canada. So there's a big field also. It's not that we're only after the class. There's the mass, huge masses, who can also come to Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada said we should, what was it, the word? Rack our brains. Exactly, to think how to spread Krishna consciousness. Mostly our movement has spread here in India among the middle classes. And all over the world is generally what we can call middle class people. Generally, not all who take to Krishna consciousness because they're not so rich that they're totally Bhogaishvarya Prasakta. And they're not so poor that they're just struggling to make, well, they are struggling to make ends meet, but at a higher level than the people who are really desperate for some food or something, just some basic things. And they're generally what we might call decent people. They're not, most of them are not highly degraded in their behavior. So they're also educated in whatever we call educated, so they can think about this philosophy. But there is a huge, huge scope for preaching among the less educated, the less privileged, or whatever you want to call them. So maybe if I see him again, I'll mention, because big, big field. He's based in Pune, of course, in Maharashtra, very, very potential Marathi people for Krishna consciousness. They have that in their culture. In different parts of India, there are different religious cultures. So in Maharashtra, although this Lokmanya Tilak promoted Ganesh worship, but actually the Panduranga, Pandarpur, Vithal, that's the actual Marathi culture, the strongest part. So that's, and it's the very close. Oh, they do kirtan. They worship Krishna. So anyway, you're going out with the books, and there's great, great scope here for selling full sets of books. See what you can do for selling full sets of books. Of course, you may be a little less enthusiastic for selling Kannada books because it seems they're not so well translated, is it? There are some discrepancies. I'll tell you one thing from maybe 20 years ago or so. I always used to hear how the Telugu books are not well translated, and they've been completely retranslated ever since. But I spoke to one devotee there who was an elderly man, but he was quite active in Krishna consciousness, used to come to the temple every day. And I asked him then, because I was hearing it, I was not well translated, I asked him that, well, what do you think about this Telugu Bhagavad Gita? What is it? Jata Tata, something like this.
Jata.
Jata Tata. Yata Tatam. So I said, what do you think of the translation? He said, well, it brought me to Krishna consciousness. So it might not be as bad as you think. something comes through. So yeah, great scope for distributing. And you have to see what you must be doing that, what kind of books they might like to take. For younger people, then if that science of self-realization, the word science still in India has its great appeal. That Origins magazine, I don't know if it's still in print, it's out of date, but it's good for the students. I got that printed years ago in India, only 5,000 copies, because it's very good for the students. And then this, Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life, actually, that was when that was first being distributed here, because we go to so many homes, they already have Prabhupada's books. So they give that. He said, especially the older people, they'd like to take that. And I heard here in Bangalore some years ago that many young people, there was some survey, they said that, actually we know the old way of life is better, but there's no going back now. So you just have to see what kind of books, different kind. The idea is everyone should take a book. Again, going back in my memories, there just comes something. I was speaking with God Brother once, Kundali, highly intelligent and thoughtful devotee. Some people might say too intelligent. So he said, yeah, there should be all kinds of books for all different kinds of people to bring them to Krishna consciousness. So there are many books available. For our devotees also, one big field for distribution is to our devotees. They don't all have sets of Prabhupada's books, do they? They all have sets of Bhagavatams now. If they don't, they should have. And then there are so many biographies of Srila Prabhupada, individual memories. And everyone should get a full set, hearing Prabhupada, all the lectures. That you should push, like anything. Everywhere. Everyone should hear Srila Prabhupada. It's so edifying, instructional, purifying to hear even the sound of Srila Prabhupada's voice and then his instructions. So there's great scope, undoubtedly. It's in Bangalore, tremendous scope for spreading Krishna consciousness. So congratulations to all of you. Of course, you're by no means the only ones who are engaged in this. There's so many others who have been doing it for so many years. Last night we were at Jagannath Temple. How long has that been going on? At least 15 years, huh? Yeah, so that's...
2002 onwards.
That's a great achievement. They're going on.
Yes.
They're carrying on doing what they're doing. Day after day, year after year. Now they're building a permanent place at the back there. So that's good. it's a great challenge to go out, but at the same time you can feel the mercy of Krishna. He's helping you. Srila Prabhupada often compared those who are going out on preaching soldiers on the front lines. There may be generals who, of course, in the Vedic culture, the king goes in the front of the fight. But you also find, actually in Mahabharata, you find that Yudhishthira was much protected, wasn't it? He was much protected. And Duryodhana, they didn't push him up the front also, because if the king is killed, it's all over. It's like in chess. Once the king's trapped, you may have all the other pieces, but it's all over. Let's see. So, Srila Prabhupada said that the soldiers on the front lines, he said there may be an ordinary farm boy, but if he has that opportunity, he can become a national hero by bravery on the front lines. Srila Prabhupada gave many martial analogies. He said our temples, they're not places for eating and sleeping, but the places from which the devotees go out to drop bombs, he said, just like in the wartime. And Srila Prabhupada experienced in Calcutta in the 1940s that Japanese were dropping bombs. Although there was some idea, maybe it was the British doing it, because the bombs didn't fall on the European quarters. But anyway, Srila Prabhupada had the experience of living with bombs dropping all around. So he said, and the bombs are our books. We go and drop books. They're falling, the bombs are falling here and there, having their effect. Noisy motorbike. He could repair his silencer, maybe took it off. They like that, they have to make a big noise and disturb everyone. So, Srila Prabhupada often quoted, prana chaitar she hetu pracha. Who's got life, he can preach. The Vrajavasis, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, this refers to, because they have life, then they can preach Krishna consciousness. Of course, it is possible to pay people to preach, as you had experience, right? You were paid to, and you were trained to go and give presentations in colleges. But it won't be the same. What was your feeling then and now? Completely different. There was a job. And here, and now it's for Krishna's pleasure. It's completely different. And you can go to temples, ISKCON or other temples, where everyone's paid. You'll never get the same life, the same atmosphere. In the kirtans, you can never, and they'll never be joyful and blissful like those devotees who are giving their life to Krishna. If it goes on as a formality, because you're supposed to keep up a show, so that people keep on giving donations, so you can pay the devotees to do kirtan, they'll never have the life. Sometimes they go in some temples and try and get them enlivened in kirtan, and just they look at you like you're offending them or something. They just no life, no spirit. Things are going on, but in a formal way. The life comes from, well, where does life come from? Life comes from life. Life comes from Krishna. So this bliss in devotional service comes from surrendering to Krishna, preaching Krishna consciousness. It's the real surrender. It's of course, it's not that others are not surrendered, but again, that example of going on the front lines, risking your life. So you're not, most of the time you're not literally risking your life, but it is a great challenge. It used to be often in America in the 1970s, regularly devotees would get physically beaten. Not now. In Russia, the devotees were getting arrested, tortured, severely tortured. Have you seen that book, Salted Bread? If you ever think you're having a hard time in Krishna consciousness, read that book. Right. Yeah. But he came here to Bangalore also to promote that book.
Yeah, no, just came and spoke about it.
Yeah.
Experiences.
We're unlikely to have such horrible torture as those devotees did. And they were so fixed in Krishna consciousness. He even died, that Sachi Sutra, I think his name was. He died from the mistreatment in the Soviet prison. His crime? Chanting Hare Krishna. So we don't have that, but it's a challenge. So keep up, keep on going, keep alive, stay alive in Krishna consciousness. While you're young, you have more energy physically, you can go out, take books, travel here, this and that, Srila Prabhupada showed us the example. In old age, he left to go to the Western world. There's one anecdote, maybe you've heard, that maybe you know, at one point there was a protracted battle for keeping Bhaktivedanta Manor open for people to come and visit. Bhaktivedanta Manor just outside London. And there was one lawyer, the devotees hired one lawyer. He was quite old, he was almost 70 years old. And he was one of the top lawyers in England. Well, you can imagine with so much experience of so many years. So to familiarize them with the devotees who he was representing, they gave him some books, including the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. And he read that, and then he commented to the devotees that you do not know what difficulties he went through to preach Krishna consciousness in the West. I thought, who is this guy telling us? And then he said, because you do not know what it is like to be 70 years old. He knew the physical difficulties and the challenges of, and now my present bag of bones is just a bit over 60 years old, and the last couple of years, especially last year, I spent half my time in the hospital. A lot of time in the hospital, this medical check. Now again it started, all this stuff, medical checks, this and that. So I was commenting this morning, just to walk. I never used to think about walking up the stairs, but now just to walk up the stairs, you can feel one step, next step, next step. It's coming a bit early for me, you see. Venerable people like Mr. Donald Trump, he's over 70, he's very active. Well, old age hits sooner for some more than others. So anyway, the point, you're young, now you're young, you have that energy, so dance in kirtan and distribute the books. Sacrifice your youth in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission. Glorious, nothing better to do, nothing better than you can do with your life. It's definitely better than working for IBM. That might seem materially to be, he must have had some high position as some researcher or something like this, this man I was talking about. So he's materially better than most people, but still it's boring and ultimately meaningless. Lochan bale she papi elo or gelo. Heno avatar ja rotinahi bhelo, lochan bale she papi elo or gelo. This is the song, Nitai Gurnamani, I believe. Nitai Gurnamani. So Lochan Das is describing Nityananda, who is the jewel of all good qualities. And he finishes the song by saying, poetry. Later, someone made it into a song. Heno avatar, such an avatar. Heno avatar, here you say Aisa avatar, Heno avatar. Ja rati nahi bhalo, whoever did not become attached to such an avatar, such a merciful avatar. Lochan bale, Lochan Das says, shei papi, that sinful person, what can you say about his life? Elo or gelo, he came, he went, that's all. His whole, you can make his biography in two words. Elo gelo, nothing there. There's nothing to say. Oh, but he was a great researcher at IBM. Napoleon charged up the Alps. Elo or gelo, that's all. He came and they left, nothing else to say. So, devotees have very interesting and very blissful lives by the grace of, for us, it's by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. Krishna's mercy received by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. Oh, Hare Krishna. Anything you'd like to say to me? It's a great opportunity for all of you, actually. If you're in a big community, you don't get, you'll hardly lead a kirtan or have any responsibility. For you, it's been a big flowering for you, to have this opportunity, and you have to take charge and so many things, and gives you an opportunity to use all your propensities, and you might not even know you had so many propensities. I didn't know. So you're doing well. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, good.
In Belgaum Gurumas, they have a project to make 108 centers cover 108 villages. Whichever center they have to make.
To cover 108 villages.
Villages,
yeah.
Yeah. They are somewhere near 40 or 45, they have done.
Yeah, that's good. You should do that. There are so many things. Prabhupada said about Padayatra, we can have million bullock carts. He said we can have millions of such carts. We have one Padayatra going all over India for so many years. That's another great thing. They keep it going so many years. But actually we should have one minimally in each district in India.
Okay.
Isn't it? Just go round and round the same villages. Again and again and again. We're a long way behind on so many things. Many things to do. Build up, develop, keep pure.
And in Bangalore, the new trend is to make them come to you. That is the way people are promoting their products. Earlier they used to go and sell. Now we have to apply that principle in making them come to us by attracting.
Whatever.
That is a new trend. People come more in numbers, then if you make them come, if you bring them, they will come.
All right, you can discuss among yourselves how to do all these things.
Yeah.
Distribution in offices has been fruitful in Bangalore.
Yeah.
Because of this, now last 10 years we see a lot of things have changed. A lot of housewives started working. When we go to their house in the morning, they're tied up, preparing to go to office, so you cannot really make them anxious to buy by them. But when you go to office, the same people are there, sitting and working. And so that is one thing which worked out here. First, we're trying.
And even the pay has increased for office. The government, the pay has increased a lot.
It's equal to the private sector.
Twofold. They have
so you get both things. You get a high salary plus job security.
Yes.
Plus not having to do anything. They keep so many government jobs just to keep the employment down.
Yes.
Especially for all these reservations and this and that. And you can't get thrown out of the job. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
A lot of Bhagavad Gita's have already been circulated.
Right.
So we had some challenge pushing Bhagavad Gita.
And then give other books.
Yeah. Other books, yeah. Recently we have seen that out of 10 books, we are able to distribute 6 to 7 Ramayanas.
Mm-hmm.
People are. It's
another thing is sets of small books. There are so many things.
Yes. We have thought of making sets now.
Yeah.
Because we have seen that sets also has huge potential.
Yeah.
That is one thing.
One set for 200 rupees, something like that. That was a 200 rupee note, so it's very convenient for people to give it.
The most important objection people have now when we approach people is that no time. This is the biggest challenge people are facing in Bangalore because of their routine, family life and office work. Both are big.
So develop our farms. Tell people come and live on our farms. Live a better life.
One of these programs that devotees conduct is called a Swadotsav, where people to engage the newcomers. They have been for 2 months or something. They are asked to cook at home the way, the proper way, it's brought and offered. Can we offer such food? Because you don't know what they cook at home. Many, there are some centers are doing. They call it sadhus, so they bring varieties and offer and then feed it back to them.
I don't know. There are new people here. Prasad means which is cooked with love for Krishna by devotees. Yeah.
Or maybe we can ask.
Just the very name suggests sense gratification, doesn't it? Svado
dhamma. They are told how to cook without
sense. One thing, you know, in here in Bangalore, there's a lot of emphasis on bring more. But what about bringing up the ones who are in also?
Okay.
That's also there, isn't it? There's some idea you bring people to get initiated and that's it. Mm-hmm. And after that, they just go and preach. But then, to bring more people. But what about bringing them up also?
Okay.
That's also to be considered.
These young boys who are coming to us recently, the last 2 months we've seen, all the boys who came, when we speak to them and when we inquire about the nature of work and whether they like it, we've seen that most of the boys, they're completely stressed.
Yeah.
They're speaking out, and then when they approach us, and they want some relief, you know. They need some...
They want some affection, actually.
Yes, affection.
Because in modern life, there's it's nothing. Just special. Everyone treats everyone else as some object, that's all.
Yes. There is no personal bonding relationship. Like a machine they're working
on. Yeah, and they live 4 or 5 right. Young unmarried men
right.
In one room, and it's just an arrangement, that's all. They don't bother to get to know each other or like each other or any such thing.
Yes. A lot of PGs that we are going regularly, exactly what you said, it's a room and then they're from some different state, they're eating some food and they're just going, walking and coming and then it's cramped, dirty room.
In Salem when we moved, the second place we were in, that was next to Tamil Sangam, so in the boys were like that, young men. And once a week they'd bring the prostitutes also. I guess they shared them around. Hare Krishna.